Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 24th chapter, verses 1 to 20. Verse 1. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, "My dear King, some historians, the speakers of the Puranas, say that 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles below the sun, is the planet known as Rahu, which moves like one of the stars. The presiding deity of that planet, who is the son of Singhika, is the most abominable of all asuras. But although he is completely unfit to assume the position of a demigod or planetary deity, he has achieved that position by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later, I shall speak further about him." Okay, what do you remember from Bhurijan Prabhu's class yesterday afternoon?
Beyond the laws that are set, beyond the jurisdiction,
so the original lawmaker is the Supreme Lord, beyond all the laws. Yes. Anything else about... Yes. Dhruva is the controller of time. Time is under the control of Dhruva. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Time is under the control of Dhruva Maharaj. Yes. Yes, so he's showing his love for Dhruva by giving him the supreme position, the central pivot of all the planets, controlling time even. He loves his devotee so much. Yes, Prashanta? So if you meditate on the universal form with the consciousness, knowing that this is the external form of the Lord, you will achieve transcendental consciousness, okay? So he will also be free from all sins. So two approaches to the universe. Okay, so two approaches. So two approaches to the universe, mechanistic by the scientists and devotional by the devotees, that all the planets are servants of the Lord. So I'll just summarize, because we're nearing the end of this section, that chapters 16 through 19 was about Jambudvip, and then Chapter 20, we heard about all of the seven islands, including surrounding Jambudvip. And Chapter 21, we heard about the sun god and Manasotra mountain on Pushkardvip. Chapter 22, we heard about seven planets especially, and starting with the sun. And what comes after the sun?
Moon.
Yes, this is very important. Prabhupada stressed on this point. First sun, then moon, Sunday, Monday. So after sun and moon, what comes after the moon? What? No. No. Planets. Which planets? No. Planets. Planets.
Venus.
Venus, yes, Venus. Okay, sun. Moon, Venus,
Mercury.
Yeah, don't worry about the stars. We're just talking about the planets. Sun, Moon, Venus, Mercury. Forgot one. Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. Yeah, so Sun, Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. These are in Swarga. These are in Swarga Loka. I don't know if you can call Saturn a heavenly planet or not, but I guess it would be, but even though it's inauspicious. But these are the seven major planets in Vedic astrology, or which were described also in Srimad Bhagavatam: Sun, Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. They are whatever they are. Yeah, stars, planets. I don't know. I don't know exactly what you would call them. But lokas is what we call them in Sanskrit. So these are the different lokas which we see in this universe, which were mentioned in the 22nd chapter. Then above Saturn, there's the planets of the seven sages, always thinking of the welfare of the universe. And all of these are circumambulating Dhruvaloka. So then Bhurijan Prabhu explained about the Shishumar planetary system, of which Dhruvaloka is the center. So, In the summary, I think it's of 23, or maybe it's of this one. I don't know if it's which chapter this is on. There's a summary, I think it's of 23, and it describes the yogis. They worship the Shishumara planetary system, which is technically known as the Kundalini Chakra. So before we start today's, of course, well, I'll give you a summary of today's also. Today's and tomorrow's classes, the last three chapters, we'll be describing planets below Bhumandala. Now we're going below Bhumandala, and we're seeing today, we're going to hear about the seven subterranean heavens. And tomorrow, in chapter 25, we'll hear about Lord Anantashesh. And then in chapter 26, we'll go to hell. Bharijan says he'll take you all to hell tomorrow afternoon. And that will be the end of the second, fifth canto. And then in sixth canto, we'll get out of hell. By chanting the holy name, we'll see this chart here, how to get out. There is the holy name which is going up to the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So we'll be going, we won't stay long in the fifth canto, we will go to the sixth. So before we start, I'd like you to look at the, you got a paper that was handed out to you, because two students yesterday came up to me with the same question, so I think I should go over this. You got a paper from Bharijan Prabhu, and this is showing all the planets. It's actually from the bottom of the universe, Pichyaloka, hellish planets, going all the way up to Satyaloka. You have this. Is there a mistake? Okay. Not too. Okay, anyway, did you get that diagram? Let me see. It's got all the planets. Yes, okay, if you can take that out, what I tell you won't concern about, won't be so important. Yes, so I didn't say it yet. I didn't say what we're going to do. The class isn't that fast. So we start with the Earth. You are here on the Earth planet, right? Earth planet. Find the Earth planet. It's near the bottom on the right side. It's above Atala, Vitala, and all those lower planets. We're starting at the Earth. And Earth is Bhumandala. Bhumandala. Because yesterday the question was, where is Bhu, where is Bhuvar, and where is Swar? So I'd like to address that question, because we're going to be talking about Bhuvar Loka today and then below. So the Earth planet is Bhumandala. Then you see Yakshas, Rakshasas, Siddhas, Charanas, and Rahu, that's all Bhuvar Loka. All those planets between the Earth and the Sun, they're in Bhuvar Loka. Okay? Bhuvar Loka. Then starting from the Sun all the way up to Dhruva Loka is Swarga Loka. Okay, so that's Bhu, Bhuvar, and Swar. From the Sun all the way up to Dhruvaloka will be Swargaloka. And then the next one is Maharloka. So Bhu, Bhuvar, and Swar. That was a confusion some devotees had yesterday, so I thought I'd clear it up today. Where is Bhu, Bhuvar, and Swar? So the Sun actually goes from Bhu to Swar. The Sun is through all three there. The Sun is not just like in one place, but it's pervading Bhu, Bhuvar, and Swar. All three. Okay?
Where finishes the Swaha?
Where finishes at Dhruvaloka. Dhruvaloka is the end of Swarga. And then you go to Maharloka. That's the next system. Bhur, Bhuvar, Swar, Mahar. Mahar is after Dhruvaloka. So I just wanted to clear that up before we start. Okay? Yeah. Two devotees were confused like yesterday, so I thought we better all get it straight. Where's Bhu, Bhuvar, and Swar? Okay. So we heard the first verse today is about Rahu, great demon. Anybody know who Rahu's father was and his mother? Yeah, Simika is Rahu's mother. Simika is a sister of Pallad. Simhika, S-I-M-H-I-K-A. Simika is Pallad's sister. She is the mother of Rahu. And who is the father of Rahu? Everybody know? Viprachiti. Viprachiti and Singhika, they are the mother and father of Rahu. And Viprachiti is the son of Danu. Danu. And Singhika was the daughter of Hiranyakashipu. So these are the parents of Rahu. Danu. D-A-N-U. He's also, actually mother. She's the mother of one line of demons. Two lines, Danu and Diti. Diti and Danu, they're the mothers of the demons. So Viprachiti, he had 101 sons. The eldest is Rahu, and the others are the 100 Ketus. So we know what Rahu does. He causes the eclipses of the sun and the moon. So one time, he covered, when Mohinimurti was trying to cheat the demons from the nectar, then Rahu dressed himself as a demigod and sat in between the sun and the moon, because he's always trying to disturb the sun and the moon. But and Mohini didn't discover them. She didn't detect it. So then the sun and the moon, immediately they knew this is Rahu, because Rahu is always disturbing them. And they pointed out, this is not a demigod here. This is a demon. So then Mohinimurti severed his head from his body. So then we have Rahu. And we'll hear more about him in the next verses. Daughter of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad's sister, Singhika. So she's the mother of Rahu, Singhika. Verse 2, the sun globe, which is a source of heat, extends for 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles. The moon extends for 20,000 yojanas, 160,000 miles, and Rahu extends for 30,000 yojanas, 240,000 miles. Formerly, when nectar was being distributed, Rahu tried to create dissension between the sun and moon by interposing himself between them. Rahu is inimical toward both the sun and the moon, and therefore he always tries to cover the sunshine and moonshine on the dark moon day and full moon night. So if you read Vedic cosmology, there's an explanation there about how the connection between Rahu and Ketu. And modern astrology, this is in Vedic astrology, we have Rahu and Ketu. In modern astrology, there's the nodes of the moon. So they're all connected, and both ways you can predict eclipses. And he shows the connection in his book. Verse 3, after hearing from the sun and moon demigods about Rahu's attack, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu engages his disc known as Sudarshan Chakra to protect them. The Sudarshan Chakra is the Lord's most beloved devotee and is favored by the Lord. The intense heat of its effulgence, meant for killing non-Vaishnavas, is unbearable to Rahu. Therefore, he flees in fear of it. During the time Rahu disturbs the sun or moon, there occurs what people commonly know as an eclipse. So Prabhupada, in the purport, explains Vishnu is always the protector of his devotees, known as demigods. They are most obedient to Lord Vishnu, although they also want material sense enjoyment, and that is why they are called demigods, or almost godly. Although Rahu attempts to attack both the sun and moon, they are protected by Lord Vishnu. Being very afraid of Lord Vishnu's chakra, Rahu cannot stay in front of the sun or moon for more than a muhurta, 48 minutes. So is this the length of the eclipse, 48 minutes usually, or sometimes it's more or less? Sometimes less, so not more than 48 minutes. Not more than 48 minutes. He cannot stay in front. The phenomenon that occurs when Rahu blocks the light of the sun or moon is called an eclipse. The attempt of the scientists of this earth to go to the moon is as demoniac as Rahu's attack. Of course, their attempts will be failures because no one can enter the moon or sun so easily. So why can't you enter? What is the qualification for entering the moon and the sun? You have to have a similar body. Punya. Also punya. Two things. Then in the fourth canto, 29th chapter, verse 69, we heard last year the failure of modern moon excursionists may be due to the Rahu planet. In other words, those who are supposed to be going to the moon may actually be going to this invisible planet, Rahu. So here's another way that Prabhupada looks at the moon excursion. Either they never went, 4:29:69, either they never went or they did go to Rahu. So verse 4. Okay, now we're going below Rahu in the Bhuvarloka. We're in Bhuvarloka now. Below Rahu by 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles, are the planets known as Siddhalok, Charnalok, and Vidyadharalok. So these are all mystic yogis' planets. They're up in Bhuvarlok. Yeah, there's another Siddhalok that is near Brahmaloka. There's different Siddhalokas. Because there's three names for Brahmaloka. Brahmalok, Satyalok, and Siddhalok is even a name. And even the Brahman, when you go to the Brahman, there's different names. That's also called Brahmalok. Brahmalok, Siddhalok, in the Brahman. So sometimes we get confused. Verse 5, beneath Vidyadharalok, Charnalok, and Siddhalok, in the sky called Antariksha, are the places of enjoyment for the yakshas, rakshasas, pishachas, ghosts, and so on. Antariksha extends as far as the wind blows and the clouds float in the sky. Above this, there is no more air. So this is all in Bhuvarlok. And those... Antariksha is between the Bhur and Bhuvar and Swar. Yeah, and sun is an Antariksha also. Sun is an Antariksha, but this is below the sun. Sun is in Antariksha, but below the sun there's Rahu and all these planets. So sometimes people have experiences of these rakshasas, pishachas, ghosts, even here on this earthly planet. They come down and disturb people. Anybody have that problem sometimes? Pishachas, right? I had sometimes problems with these people. Huh? How to know? You see them. And they attack you. How to know? Yeah, some people don't have that problem. Some people do. So that, then what you do, usually my experience is they come in dreams and then I understand in my dream that this is happening and then I chant and then they go. They go fast. They go, many varieties, ghosts, witches, so many things. They come, but if you chant, and my son also, he had that too. When he was small, he was like 4 and 5, he would always see these beings. And so I taught him to chant in his sleep. So he would be chanting. And he said, yes, this one was bluish and it had a shape like this. And I said, yeah, okay, good, you chanted. He would wake up. As soon as you chant, you wake up and they go away. They go away first and then you, yeah, you never, that's okay. No problem, you don't need to. Yes, there's something? No, okay. Yes, Hare Krishna. Your mother is a devout Christian, sympathetic.
In the beginning, she was somewhat doubtful about Hare Krishna.
So she was doubtful in the beginning about Hare Krishna.
One night, some of those guys started suffocating her.
Oh, yeah, one of the ghosts or one of those witches, they started suffocating.
So she said Our Lady's prayer. It worked.
So she said her prayer.
Our Lady's.
Our Lady's. What, which prayer? Her prayer? Yeah, right. Lord's Prayer.
Didn't work. So she said something else. Didn't work. So then she said, Hare Krishna.
And she said, Hare Krishna.
And then they left.
Yeah. Just see.
So she said, must be something right.
And so his mother was attacked by ghosts or something, trying to suffocate her in her dream. And then she tried Hail Mary. She tried the Lord's Prayer. She tried so many things. Then she tried Hare Krishna and that worked. For all you CD listeners. Okay? Yeah, so it works. It does work. So anytime you have this problem, or you probably don't have this problem, but anyway, if you do, you just chant Hare Krishna. And it helps very much. Or Nishinga Mantra. Shinga Mantra, yes.
So sometimes there are ghosts which are very resistant.
Resistant, yeah. Yeah. Tulsi, yeah. Yeah. Actually, I had ghosts that were even worse. So I had to wear, at one point I had to wear Radhakund mala around my neck when I slept. And Tulsi on my hands and legs. I had to wear Tulsi. And then it worked. And so, yeah. Anyway, yes, spiritual means will do it. Yes, Brahma Rakshasa. In Mayapur. Devotees were sleeping on the roof. Yeah. They would hear voices. Oh, and the Brahma Rakshasas would push the devotees off. Yeah, in Bombay and Juhu, we had tenants who hated the devotees, and they would do sacrifices at night and send, you know, demoniac. Like, when I got attacked by those, whatever they sent one night. So anyway, yeah, these things happen. So we have to be prepared to chant Hare Krishna. So I have a quote here about these different residents, especially Bhuvar and Swar. This is from 11th canto, 24th chapter, verse 12. It's talking about these three places. Heaven was established as a residence of the demigods, Bhuvarloka as that of the ghostly spirits, and the earth system as the place of human beings and other mortal creatures. Those mystics who strive for liberation are promoted beyond these three divisions. So in the purport, it is said in this purport, 11th canto, Indraloka, planets such as Indraloka and Chandraloka are meant for heavenly enjoyment of the most pious fruit of workers. The highest four planets, Satyalok, Maharlok, Janlok, Tampalok, are meant for those most perfectly endeavoring for liberation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so inconceivably merciful, he is promoting the most fallen victims of Kali Yuga beyond these four planets, the high planets, and even beyond Vaikuntha to the supreme planet of Lord Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. So there's a comment by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur. He explains, heaven is a residence of the demigods, earth is a residence of human beings, and in between is a temporary residence for both classes of beings. So here you have different angles. And Bhur, Bhuvar, and Swar. Bhur, Bhuvar, Swar, Loka. That's 11, 24, 12. Okay, verse 6. Below the abodes of Yakshas and Rakshasas, by a distance of 100 yojanas, 800 miles, is the planet Earth. Its upper limits extend as high as swans, hawks, eagles, and similar large birds can fly. I just had an interesting thought. How high do the airplanes go, usually? What is their limit? 30,000? How much is, like, compared to this? 800? Not very high.
10 kilometers.
Oh, 10 kilometers. 40,000 is...
40 kilometers is something very exceptional.
It's already out. About, so that's the limit of the airplanes.
That's only 26 miles.
And where do the satellites go? Which, how high do they go? I know, where's that? You know, I mean... A 101,000 kilometers. So it's still within the. So is that in the level of these yakshas and rakshasas? It's okay. Maybe that's why it's so demoniac. All the internet, getting messages from outer space there, from the internet. All the yakshas and rakshasas controlling the internet. It's very low. Yeah. Very close to us, yeah. So the satellites, that's perhaps our problem with the satellites and the internet and all that. They're in the abodes of the yakshas and rakshasas. Verse 7. Okay, now we're going to go down below the earth. My dear king, beneath this earth are seven other planets known as Atala, Vitala, Suttala, Talatala, Mahatala, Visattala, and Patala. I have already explained the situation of the planetary systems of earth. Width and length of the seven lower planetary systems are calculated to be exactly the same as those of Earth. That's verse 7. Verse 8. In these seven planetary systems, which are also known as the subterranean heavens, Bila Swarga, there are very beautiful houses, gardens, and places of sense enjoyment, which are even more opulent than those in the higher planets, because the demons have a very high standard of sensual pleasure, wealth, and influence. Most of the residents of these planets, who are known as Daityas, Danavas, and Nagas, live as householders. Their wives, children, friends, society are all fully engaged in illusory material happiness. The sense enjoyment of the demigods is sometimes disturbed, but the residents of these planets enjoy life without disturbances. Thus, they are understood to be very attached to illusory happiness. Okay, so middle of the purport, Prabhupada says, whether in the heavenly planets, lower planets, or earthly planets, people are engrossed in temporary material happiness, forgetting that in due course of time they have to change their bodies according to the material laws and suffer repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. Not caring what will happen in the next life, gross materialists are simply busy enjoying during the present short span of life. A Vaishnava is always anxious to give all such bewildered materialists the real happiness of spiritual life. So I have something here from Bhakti Tirtha Swami's book, The Beggar, number 2. And it's quite an interesting... I'll just read an excerpt from the beginning of it. And in this essay, or whatever you call it, meditation, he goes down to the lower planets and travels around the universe, just seeing what's there. And so I'll just read this to you. It's just like a couple of pages. I won't read the whole thing. Today, my spiritual master had an extremely special lesson for me to learn. I had been feeling baffled as I tried to deepen my understanding of transcendental realities. Perhaps the intensity of my confusion is what caused him to give special attention to my concerns, for suddenly he appeared before me, all the way from another plane that is literally light years away. My dear son, he beckoned, please accompany me on a voyage. I know you have so much to say, but for now, just listen and observe. I stepped in place behind him and stood very still as we traveled to our first destination, the ocean. At first, I was extremely frightened as he took me into the depths, but this fear was soon replaced with awe as I witnessed the unusual civilization that inhabited the ocean floor. My spiritual master noticed my hesitant posture and began to calm me with his voice. Fear not, my son, simply listen and observe. Taking his instruction, I listened. This unusual civilization spoke a very peculiar language, which, by my guru's mercy, I was able to understand. So what do you think all the conversations were about? He's just watching. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he's watching. He's listening to what these people are talking about. Yeah, the guru would be Srila Prabhupada, taking him on a trip. Yes. Exactly. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. All their conversations were about that. My guru then took me into the inner core of the earth. Again, I was astonished to see another whole civilization. In fact, a totally different species living so close to human civilization. Immediately, I thought, how is it these beings are so much a part of the earth's ecosystem, we know nothing of their existence? Hearing my thoughts, my spiritual master said, there are actually many humans who know of these beings in detail. Just remember, right now your role is simply to listen and observe. Again, I noticed all of these entities' speech and activities were centered around eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. My guru said, study quickly. We have thousands of environments to visit. Next, we went to several lower planets that were horrific and frightening. The bodily features of the beings were totally grotesque. I was afraid if they saw us, they would try to attack or harm us. But my guru proceeded fearlessly. Simply listen and observe. Within moments, we were in the middle planetary system. Later, we traveled to higher planets and even to other universes. I had never before seen so much opulence, heard so many languages, or observed so many people engaged so intensely in varieties of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In the higher planets, each abode seemed more exciting than the last. Several times I wanted to ask my spiritual master if I could remain there, but before I could form the words, he said, simply listen and observe. So by his grace, I noticed every creature in all the environments was intensely involved in making elaborate arrangements for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. By my guru's further grace, I soon realized how monotonous this program is. So then... But this chapter 6. So it's quite interesting. You think we've heard about all these places, but what are they doing in all these places? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and talking about that. So this is higher planets, lower planets, middle planets. This is what's interesting to the people there. So the Vaishnava, he sees through it and he wants to deliver the people from this illusion. So verse 9, my dear king, in the imitation heavens, no, did we read 8? I don't remember.
Yes.
We did read 8. Right, we did read 8. Okay. Verse 9, my dear king, in the imitation heavens known as Bila Swarga, there is a great demon named Maya Danava, who is an expert artist and architect. He has constructed many brilliantly decorated cities. There are many wonderful houses, walls, gates, assembly houses, temples, yards, and temple compounds, as well as many hotels serving as residential quarters for foreigners. The houses for the leaders of these planets are constructed with the most valuable jewels, and they're always crowded with living entities known as Nagas and Asuras, as well as many pigeons, parrots, and similar birds. All in all, these imitation heavenly cities are most beautifully situated and attractively decorated. So this is quite interesting to understand what kind of heavenly places they have. Actually, I talked to a devotee who said he remembers his last life in the lower planets. And he was telling me a few things. But I'll just say a few things that he was saying, that they don't have any sunlight there, so then they have imitation sun to make the sunlight. They have, and they even, like, they make imitation insects and imitation trees, and everything is imitation, but nothing is real. So you can't really enjoy. And he said the people there, they have all these demoniac qualities, so they get angry. If they get angry, they can just kill somebody, so they try to control their anger. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. So here it's described Maya Danava. Who knows about Maya Danava? Anything about Maya Danava, yes?
Krishna book?
Krishna book, yes? Oh, yes, yes. Kandava forest?
Yeah.
Kandava forest. Indraprastha. Okay, so he was, Agni was eating up the Kandava forest, and Arjuna and Krishna were chasing all the demons and killing them, all who were trying to flee. But Maya Danava was a very smart demon. Lord Krishna was chasing him, and Maya Danava took shelter of Arjuna. So Arjuna said, fear not, I will protect you. So he was a very smart demon, took shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. And so he got saved. And then later, after, he said, can I help? Can I do something for you? And Arjuna said, yes, you can do something for Krishna. And Krishna said, yes, you can do something for Yudhisthira. And so Prabhupada says, by the mercy of Krishna, you get a chance to serve the pure devotee. By the mercy of the devotee, you get to serve Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, you can get a chance to serve the pure devotee. So that's one lila of, with Maya Danava. Prashanta, you had something to say? Indraprastha, the assembly house, Indraprastha. Okay, anything else about Maya Danava? Yes, Tripura. He built three airplanes or cities, like airplanes that could fly for the demons. And they were destroyed by Lord Shiva. This will be in the seventh canto. Prabhupada makes a comment that these asuras, they have mystic powers, like Maya Danava. They have these big mystic powers, but they use them for personal sense gratification or to help other asuras. So this was Maya Danava's business. And Prabhupada says, now we see there are some yogis who cater to the senses of materialists and imposters who advertise themselves as God. Maya Danava was such a person, a god among the demons. Anything else he did besides... Yes? Yes.
Seventh.
There, he made a, when all the demons were killed by the demigods, and he made a special well of nectar, and he dipped them in, and they came out alive. So this was the power of Maya Danava. So he's the one who has built this Bila Swarga planetary system. He's the architect of the demons, and we have Vishwakarma in the heavenly planets. Atala. Atala down to Patala. This is all Bila Swarga, all the seven planets. They're all called Bila Swarga. Everywhere people are enjoying Only Earth planet, there is some problem. More demigods also some interruption. But everywhere else you don't have disease, old age. It's just here. Otherwise we wouldn't want to go back to Godhead if we had no problem. Verse 10. The parks and gardens in the artificial heavens surpass in beauty those of the upper planetary heavenly planets. And so the trees in those gardens embraced by creepers bend with a heavy burden of twigs with fruits and flowers. Therefore they appear extraordinarily beautiful. That beauty could attract anyone and make his mind fully blossom in the pleasure of sense gratification. There are many lakes and rivers, reservoirs with clear, transparent water, agitated by jumping fish, decorated with many flowers such as lilies, kuvalayas, kalaras, blue and red lotuses. Pairs of chakravakas and many other water birds nest in the lakes and always enjoy in a happy mood, making sweet, pleasing vibrations that are very satisfying and conducive to enjoyment of the senses. But it's all imitation. It's an imitation heaven. It's not the real thing. Since there is no sunshine in those subterranean planets, time is not divided into days and nights. So consequently, fear produced by time does not exist. 12. Many great serpents reside there with gems on their hoods, and the effulgence of these gems dissipates the darkness in all directions. 13. Since the residents of these planets drink and bathe in juices and elixirs made from wonderful herbs, they are freed from all anxieties and physical diseases. They have no experience of gray hair, wrinkles, or invalidity. Their bodily lusters do not fade. Their perspiration does not cause a bad smell. And they are not troubled by fatigue or lack of energy or enthusiasm due to old age. So they may get old, but they don't have the problems of old age. Because I read, I think in Nectar Devotion or somewhere, that there were some old ladies in Patala, they were having their tea party, but it got disturbed when Anantashesha heard Krishna's flute and started moving his head, because it's right, they're right, Patala is right above Anantashesha. So sometimes they get, you know, a little bit, he started, you know, dancing with the tune of the flute, so their tea party was a bit disturbed. But they don't have, they don't suffer from old age. No wrinkles, or anything like that. So they live very auspiciously and do not fear death from anything but death's established time, which is the effulgence of the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a defect, Prabhupada says. There is death. Nothing, no other problem but death. But who wants death? That means it will come to an end. You cannot stay there. Even if you like it so much, you cannot stay. So Prabhupada says everything in the subterranean heavens is very nicely arranged. There are well-situated residential quarters, pleasing atmosphere, no bodily inconveniences or mental anxieties. Nevertheless, those who live there have to take another birth, according to karma. Persons whose minds are dull cannot understand this defect of a materialistic civilization aiming at material comforts. One may make his living conditions very pleasing for the senses, but despite all favorable conditions, one must in due course of time meet death. The members of a demoniac civilization endeavor to make their living conditions very comfortable, but they cannot check death. The influence of the Sudarshan Chakra will not allow their so-called material happiness to endure. So this is the illusion. Here we always have anxieties. Here we have so many problems, but there they don't. So they think, well, this is very nice. Let me enjoy. So this is demoniac life. They don't have a thought about devotional service or Krishna, nor will they care. Of course, we have people like this even here in this earth planet. You try to approach them and they have the same mood. So they will be destined to go and live in these lower planets. Sixth canto. There will be an analogy with the Haryashvas describing how this is like a hole. The lower planets are like a hole from which you never return. It will be in sixth canto with the Haryashvas. When Narada Muni gives an analogy, then it will be here, it will be there. Hole, H-O-L-E, hole. Hole, like, yeah, Bila. Verse, hole, yeah. Anybody have any experience of the lower planets? It's here on Earth. Yes, Pachu, you have experience? Oh, yes. Pachu has experience of everything. distributing books. And people were telling you their experience. Okay. I mean, I think everybody would be interested to hear their experience of the lower planets. If it's short. Make it short. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that one. Yeah, he told me that story. You were shooting books. Show me the books. Right.
And then it was very loud music playing from the room of your son. And
yes.
She was screaming, please switch off,
make it lower.
Yeah, lower. But it was not
not going down.
Not happening anything. So she came personally to chastise him, and she saw that this boy was sitting and watching and looking at this, and the plug was plucked off from the PC.
So the boy was on the computer playing loud music, and the mother was saying, turn it off, turn it off. So then she went to chastise him, and she saw the plug was out, and the music was still coming. And the boy was paralyzed looking at the, I bet. And she saw, yeah, okay, she saw one of those flying saucers on the roof. When being appeared 1 meter away, so we have a UFO or whatever you call it. Yeah. And they were approaching, so she decided to take the books. In that case. Yeah, it's good reasoning. Good reasoning. We should take the books. In that case. Bhagwat, did you have something to say? You met some used to dream when you were younger. Black snakes chasing you. Mm-hmm. Pile of them. Hellish planets. Could be. Well, it says, we read that in the 14th chapter, the forest of material enjoyment, that when you sleep, black snakes are biting you. The snakes are biting you. Prabhupada says that. Yes? Oh, the tantric. Your tantric friend. Mm-hmm. Fern in English. Rakshasas. Hare Krishna temple. Many of them, many people.
And they found that this kind of glass wall.
Well. Okay. Yeah, so they were doing tantra in the forest of Russia, and during one of their tantric sacrifices or whatever they're doing, rituals. So at nighttime, they did their ritual and thousands of rakshasas were coming and they got scared, they didn't know what to do. And then the guy, he had visited the Hare Krishna temple and he remembered devotees saying, whenever you're in trouble, just chant Hare Krishna. So they all started chanting and then there was like a protective shield around them from all the rakshasas. The next day, he went to the temple and became brahmachari. Happily ever after. So this is, yes, these things are there. And there are in America, there are many conspiracy theories that, you know, that we're going to be invaded from the lower planets. And I said, what theory? We're already invaded. You look at all the movies, you look at what's on internet. I think the invasion has already occurred, if you ask me. And it's already happened. They're already controlling. It's already there in the internet and the TV and the movies. What kind of movies they're making of outer space and other planets and demoniac, so demoniac, all dark. As my son was, he was getting headache from working on the computer. He says, then he turned on a movie. He says, because it's all dark, it doesn't hurt my eyes. This is all dark and like that. It's lower species. Anyway, it's very demoniac. So, Damana Krishna, do you have something to say? You were attracted to the lower planets. Acha? Krishna saved you.
Like I was driving the airfare in the notebooks.
You were doing what?
Like notebooks. Or like during school, I would just.
In your notebooks?
Saturn and like.
Okay, in your school notebooks, you were drawing Saturn and the lower planets, the inauspicious planets. And then? It described the lower planets, so you were attracted by Prabhupada's books. Very good. Yes, everything is there. Everything is there. So even if you're attracted by the lower planets, you can get it in Srimad Bhagavatam. So good book distributor, he can sell the books. Whatever your interest is, you can find it in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Adipurush. Of these, okay, you're pointing out that even on this earthly planet, you can see echoes of the descriptions of the lower planets.
Tales.
Oh yes. Yes, that's true. So okay, yeah, in Chinese also, Chinese literature, there's the underground heavens. There we saw that on the video and. In Arabian tales, Arabian Nights, you go down and there's a whole civilization, yes?
Dragons, which are the Nagas.
Dragons, which are the Nagas. Bhaktadamian.
In the 13th century, there's Dante who wrote the Divine Comedy, where he describes the whole universe.
Oh, Dante.
Yes.
I read that when I was a child. It's so interesting. Yeah, Dante, he wrote one book. What was the name of it? Divine Comedy. I read it over and over when I was a child. And it described the lower planets, all the hellish planets, and how you go down there. Then it was more like Christian-oriented. Then it had purgatory, which was kind of in between. And then it had the heavenly planets, different levels of heaven, different levels of hell. And he had a guide who took him to all of these different planets. And there were pictures in the book, too. It was like pictures. It's quite an interesting book. This is written in 15th century? 13th century. Yeah, I read that. I read that book when I was a child. It's quite interesting. So you see the traces of the Vedic culture. Yes, Vanamali, and then Govind. Gopuram of the temple. Right. So in the Gopuram, they have all the worlds. They have the lower worlds, the middle worlds, and the higher worlds. In the Gopuram of temples. I think Mayapur will also be doing something like that. Mayapur temple. Govinda. Right. In Kiev, Ukraine. They're going to make a city underneath Kiev, four stories down with artificial lights. And yes. Montreal is like that. All underground. Yeah, New York's underground, but it's not very nice. I think it's all the sewage system. It's all rats. And they even make movies. Huh? Yeah, there's a subways in cities. In Paris, they have subways. Also in the big cities, New York, Chicago, all the big cities, there's subways and shops. And some people live there. Yes, in London too? They're putting slaughterhouses underground now. Because they protest. So they're putting them underground. But in Britain, there's a big movement now for vegetarianism, animal rights. Big movement. Okay, so let's go on. We'll finish our tour of the lower planets, at least half of it, and Bhurijan will complete it. Verse 14. We did verse 14. Verse 15, when the Sudarshan disc enters those provinces, the pregnant wives of the demons all have miscarriages due to fear of its effulgence. My dear king, now I shall describe to you the lower planetary systems one by one, beginning from Atala. In Atala, there is a demon, the son of Maya Danava, named Bala, who created 96 kinds of mystic power. Some so-called yogis and swamis take advantage of this mystic power to cheat people even today. So all these 96 who know, imagine what kind of mystic powers is, and they're all demoniac, I'm sure, to control people. Simply by yawning, the demon Bala created three kinds of women known as Swayani, Kamini, Pumschali. The Swayanis like to marry men from their own group, Kaminis marry men from any group, and Pumschalis change husbands one after another. If a man enters the planet of Atala, these women immediately capture him and induce him to drink an intoxicating beverage made with a drug known as khataka, cannabis indica. What's cannabis indica? It's marijuana. So, okay, so that's where it came from, or maybe it came from here, who knows? Ganja, or marijuana. So this is what they give them. They make a drink out of it. This intoxicant endows a man with great sexual prowess, of which the women take advantage for enjoyment. A woman will enchant him with attractive glances, intimate words, smiles of love, and then embraces. In this way, she induces him to enjoy sex with her to her full satisfaction. Because of his increased sexual power, the man thinks himself stronger than 10,000 elephants and considers himself most perfect. Indeed, illusioned and intoxicated by false pride, he thinks himself God, ignoring impending death. So that's the effect of the drug. And this is what happens when these people take this drug, in the lower planets anyway. Verse 17. The next planet below Atala is Vitala, wherein Lord Shiva, who is known as the master of gold mines, lives with his personal associates, the ghosts, and similar living entities. Lord Shiva, as a progenitor, engages in sex with Bhavani, the progenitress, to produce living entities, and from the mixture of their vital fluid, the river named Hataki is generated. When fire, being made to blaze by the wind, drinks of this river and sizzles and spits it out, it produces gold called Hataka. The demons who live on that planet with their wives decorate themselves with various ornaments made from their gold, and thus they live there very happily. So whenever Prabhupada hears the word gold, what does he think of? No? Yes, yata kanchanatangyati kangsyang rasa vidanata. When gold kind of rings a bell in Prabhupada's mind, which always he thinks of the verse from Sanatan Goswami, Hari Bhakti Vilas, that's in the last two paragraphs. As one can transform kangsa or bell metal into gold by treating it with mercury, one can turn a low-born man into a brahmana by initiating him properly into Vaishnava activities. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is trying to turn mlechas and yavanas into real brahmanas by properly initiating them and stopping them from engaging in meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. One who stops these four principles of sinful activity and chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can certainly become a pure Brahman through the process of bona fide initiation as suggested by Srila Sanatan Goswami. So then the last paragraph is a mysterious paragraph. Apart from this, if one takes a hint from this verse and learns how to mix mercury with bell metal by properly heating and melting them, one can get gold very cheaply. The alchemists of the medieval age tried to manufacture gold, but they were unsuccessful, perhaps because they did not follow the right instructions. So Prabhupada says you can get gold. Yes, Bhakti Damian?
Just a comment.
Comment? It's the same as what? The drug is the same name as the gold, Hataka. Interesting comment. Notice that. The drug in Atala, which they're given, the marijuana, is the same name as gold here, this kind of gold, in verse 17. Vitala. Yeah, it kind of rang a bell in my head too, but I didn't. Yes. So Prabhupada tells the process how you can get gold. Does anybody remember how you can actually get gold even nowadays? Yes. Madan Gopal. Yeah, the yogis, they swallow mercury at night. And in the morning, they pass urine on a copper coin. They pass urine on copper, and then they heat it up, and it becomes gold. You ever meet any yogis like that? No. Okay. So, if you're interested in making gold, you have to eat mercury. Verse 18. Yes, poison. Don't do it. It's a very strong poison, but some yogis can digest it. So if you're not a yogi, don't try it. Verse 18. Below the planet Vitala is another planet known as Sutala, where the great son of Mahaj Virochan, Bali Maharaj, celebrated as the most pious king, resides even now. For the welfare of Indra, the king of heaven, Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of a dwarf brahmachari as the son of Aditi and tricked Bali Maharaj by begging for only 3 paces of land, but taking all the 3 worlds. Being very pleased with Bali Maharaj for giving all his possessions, the Lord returned his kingdom and made him richer than the opulent King Indra. Even now, Bali Maharaj engages in devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the planet of Sutala. So he will explain the flaw in these planets. And we already heard the flaw. Prabhupada says in the purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Uttama Shloka, he who is worshipped by the best of selected Sanskrit verses. And his devotees, such as Bali Maharaj, are also worshipped by Punya Shloka, verses that increase one's piety. Bali Maharaj offered everything to the Lord, wealth, kingdom, and even his own body, Sarvatma Nivedane Bali. So where is this verse from? Sarvatmana, Sarvatma Nivedane Bali. Is that Nectar of Devotion? Or something like that. Sarvatma Nivedane Bali. Lord appeared before Bali Maharaj as a Brahmin beggar, and Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had. However, Bali Maharaj did not become poor. By donating all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became a successful devotee and got everything back again with the blessings of the Lord. So if you give everything to Krishna, you get it back with the blessings of the Lord. And if you don't give it to Krishna, then Krishna is going to take it away anyway. So better you give it to Krishna, because you're going to lose it one way or the other. And that's what Chanakya Pandit says too. So what does Prabhupada say? However, oh yes. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of Krishna consciousness movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. On the other side, those who collect contributions on behalf of International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be very careful not to use even a farthing of the collection for any purpose other than transcendental loving service of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada in India, he was very meticulous in his accounts, because all these temples in India, they were built by the hard work of devotees out on book distribution in America, day and night. They were distributing books, and they were sending all the money to India to build Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Bombay, 3 temples. So Prabhupada, he was very, very strict with his accounts. He himself would oversee all the accounts. And at one point, he was saying, the devotees, you should only spend 10 rupees a day for food for each devotee. He would just give like some kind of... And then another time, I was in Calcutta, and so for Mayapur, he was giving something like 5,000 rupees a month. That's all you get for Mayapur. And so it was like he was really, really keeping it very low. That's for maintenance. 5,000 rupees a month for maintenance for all the devotees. It's just like really, he was very, very rigorous. So in the second canto, 3rd chapter, verse 17, in the purport, it's described about giving in charity. If you give to a non-Brahmin, you get your money back next life in the same proportion. If you give charity to a half-educated Brahmin, you get it double. If you give it to a fully qualified Brahmin, you get 100,000 times. If you give it to one who is a self-realized soul, unlimited multiplication. This is for charity. And if you, so that Prabhupada says there's a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity. And so Prabhupada, in some lectures or somewhere, conversations, he explains that if you steal, then you have to pay it back your next life with interest. And if you give, you'll get it back your next life with interest also. Interest is there between one life and the next. Of course, we don't want to come back, so better we don't worry about that. But the nice thing, Prabhupada says, similarly, a moment passed in association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, returning home, back to Godhead. So if you just spend a moment hearing, then there's guarantee. Guarantee spiritual bank balance in your next life. Verse 19, my dear King, Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, but one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bila Swarga as a result of his charitable disposition. Okay, so you shouldn't think that way, that just because he gave everything, then he got his opulence in Bila Swarga. Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly supersoul, and under his direction, a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically open. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think the material opulence of a devotee is a result of his devotional service. The real result of devotional service is awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. So this Prabhupada's over and over and over again, he's saying the same thing. Don't have the mistaken conception by doing devotional service you get material opulence. It's not the purpose. And Prahlad Maharaj, I think in Briha Bhagavatamrita, he was saying, I didn't get the mercy of the Lord because he gave me the kingdom. He didn't give me himself. He just gave me, and now I got this useless kingdom. What's the use? But I didn't get him. So he was lamenting, Prahlad Maharaj. Verse 20. If one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. Karmis, entangled in material activities, face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. So, of course, wherever we go in Bhagavatam, we're going to find a verse on the holy name. They always, somehow or other, has nothing to do with what's the verse before and after, but the holy name is there. Holy name is everywhere. It's all pervading. So all the prayers, some in the prayer, they'll stick, and then here it is. Hunger, if you're embarrassed by hunger, fall down, stumble, you chant. You'll get freed from all reactions. So we've been hearing about these Bila Swarga lokas and how difficult it is to stay there. I mean, you can't get out because you're so happy there. But here's the way out. You chant the holy name. So in the Purport Prabhupada says, it is not a fact one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. Of course, that's how we used to preach in the old days. Bring all your possessions to the temple and donate it to Krishna and move in as a brahmachari. That's how the preaching was. You give up, you bring your car, you bring your somebody, they would come, they would load up a van with their guitar, somebody had all their musical instruments, and he was the leader of the group of musicians. So when he became a devotee, you know, the group was finished because he owned all the instruments, and the group couldn't play anymore. So he came to the temple with all his instruments, and they sold it. I also was a musician of sorts, and I sold my cello to pay the rent of the temple, 1 month's rent, half a month's rent. And then 1 month later, it was in Boston, and Satsrup 1 month later. So you give everything to Krishna, and then he puts us out on the road, my husband and I. He says, okay, I'm sending you to Florida. So we were up in Boston, which is northernmost part, and he was sending us to the southernmost part. So we were there on the road with our yellow sheets and some boxes for suitcases and hitchhiking to Florida. So we got a ride to New York. And then after that, they let us collect to get a bus ride to Florida. But anyway, that was how we thought. Okay, you get money, it belongs to Krishna. Grihastha doesn't matter, you're Grihastha. It's Krishna's money. So all the Grihasthas and Brahmacharis were none different in the old days. They all live in the temple, and they didn't have anything, and whatever money you got, it was Krishna's. And we thought, well, this is no problem. This is very nice. This is an adventure. It's quite an adventure to hitchhike in yellow sheets on the tollway with boxes for suitcases. And then, you know, there were people picked us up. So anyway, this is going on. Oh, look at this huge purport for 20. Oh, I want to sing some of these verses, just a few. This is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is describing the glories of the holy name. This is where it starts, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Keho bole nama hoite hoi papa koi, keho bole nama hoite jive moka hoi. Some say by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all reactions to sinful life. And others say by chanting the holy name, one attains liberation from material bondage. Haridas kohen namero edui phal nai, namer phale krishna pare prema upajai. Haridas Thakur, however, said, the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from reactions to sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, loving service to the Lord. Anushangika phal namer mukti papanash tahar dishtanta jaiche shurajaya prakash. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from reactions to sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. So we'll skip one verse. Haridas kohen jaiche shirjerudai udana hoite arambe tamer hoi koi. Haridas Thakur said, as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night, even before the sunshine is visible. Chor petarakka kadir poi hoi nash udai hale dharma karma adi parakash. Before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of dangers of the night, such as disturbances by thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. So, interesting thought, that you have the sun and you have all these rakshasas in the same place, like in Buvar Loka, the sun rays are coming there. So, in the daytime, the sun is prevalent, but at night, then we get the presence of the ghosts and the rakshasas and things. Then they rule the night. So this is ghosts and rakshasas. Aichi namo dayarambi papa adyakoi udai kale kishya pare hoi premadoi. Similarly, even before one's chanting, the holy name is pure when it's freed from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. So this is... these are the verses of Haridas Thakur. There's another verse from Garuda Purana. If one chants the holy name of the Lord, even in a helpless condition or without desiring to do so, all the reactions of his sinful life depart, just as when a lion roars, all the small animals flee in fear. And we're going to hear again in the sixth canto how the chanting of Hare Krishna jokingly, course of ordinary discussion indicating something else in negligence is namabhas. So this is namabhas chanting. This will liberate Ajamila. So any other verses on this, and then we'll go to comments. Any verses to support this idea of how of the power of the holy name or the glories? Yes. Appana sankshiti gauram yanama vivishogranam. It's 1.1.14. So even by unconsciously chanting the holy name of the Lord, this is enough to drive away fear personified and you become liberated. Yes. Irishodash kam namnam.
Brahma said after studying with a
After studying the Vedas three times, Lord Brahma said, he concluded that the 16 syllable mantra is most powerful. It can destroy all the bad effects of Kali. Okay? So any... Okay, we'll stop. Or you have another one, Adi Purush? Another verse? Cheta Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvarpanam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eight verses. Eight verses in the power of the holy name. Nam Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudho Nitya Mukta Binatta Namanami. Yes. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Gaim Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Sayameva Svaratvada. Yes. Yeah, I don't know that one. Nectar of instruction. Oh, yes, yes. Siya Krishna Nama Charitari. I do. I kind of know it. Sitapya Vidya. Pitopa Tapta Rasanasya. Charuchika Nu. Which one? Yagya Anam Japa Yagya Smi. Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter. Kalikali Namarupe Krishna Avatar Chaitanya Chaitanya Namabino. Anyway, yes, it goes. Yanamadeya Shavananu Kirtanad. That's Kapila Dev's verse. Kapila Dev. Okay, so we have all these wonderful verses, and we're going to get a taste of the power of the holy name when we hear the story of Ajamila. Very soon, after 1 week, we'll be back. 1 week break, and then we'll be back with Ajamila Katha. Any questions or comments? Yes, Madhavan Puri.
In 7.
So
he said that all the Vilas are the same size of wings as length also as.
Right, same length as those of the earth.
Bhumi.
Yeah.
It says Bhumi. So what do you mean about
Bhumi? So it says Bhumi, planet Earth. It would seem that it's the planet Earth,
so it's
according to this.
Basically.
Whatever the word for word, it says Bhume, planet Earth.
What I'm saying is, it says the width and length of the seven lower system. So here it seems to indicate that they have planetary systems below. So sometimes
seven lower planetary systems.
So sometimes Earth.
Yeah, it could refer to Bhumandala. They
so
could be the same as No, we're talking about either Bhardvaj or Bhumandala. It could be Bhumandala. I think Sariputta accepts that conclusion that all these planets are the same size as Bhumandala. Bhumandala. I also, when I read it, I also had that idea too, that it's Bhumandala. It's the same size as Bhumandala, but it's just below.
So it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. But here it says Bhume. So somebody, Adi Purusha, the word Bhume, is that, what could that mean?
Earth.
Okay, Bhardvarsh. Or like, just earth. Okay, Bhume.
Also, when Varaha rested Bhume,
whole Bhumandala. Yeah, so Bhumi and Bhumandala, it seems sometimes they're interchangeable. Bhumi, Bhu, it's the same beginning there, Bhu. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
When it's said that they're subterranean, it means because they're.
Yes, yeah, subterranean means below the ground.
That means in this planet?
Yeah, below. Within the earth, that's what it. Subterranean means within the earth, underground. Yeah, it is different. That doesn't show the external, what's going on. It's just like a diagram or a chart. It's not really meant to be the actual what it looks like. Though they make an attempt at the sizes and the distances. But as far as the actual, what it looks like, then it's.
So it's the underground of what? Of Bhumandala?
What's that?
When you're talking about subterranean animal planets.
Subterranean.
In the underground of Bhumandala.
Yeah, underground. Bhumandala. As far as I understand.
So all the villas are within the underground.
Yes, they're within the ground, underneath the ground. And we'll see as you get to the lower planets like this afternoon. It says, I think, one of the lowest, Rasatala or something, they live in holes. They live in holes, it said. Just like, and that Bila means hole. Bila, as far as, right? Bila means heaven in the hole. Heaven's in the holes. So they're like holes.
Caves
where people, holes come down into caves, and that's where their heaven is. Caves. It means cave or
cave.
Okay, can mean cave. Yes.
This chapter initially starts with those planets above.
Above, Bhuvarloka, yes.
So the connective thing is they're all demons, right?
Yeah, they're all, except Siddhas, Charanas, and Vityadharas.
So
they're the exception.
Since the severity of their demonic nature increases with this more subterranean aspect,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it does. You'll notice that the severity of their demoniac character seems to increase the lower down you go.
Aren't Nagas Vaishnavas?
Aren't Nagas Vaishnavas? Yeah, they're Vaishnavas, even though they have such a low nature. I mean, some of them are Vaishnavas. You can't say all of them are Vaishnavas, but some of them, Bali is not a Naga. Huh? The wives of Kaliya. Yeah, they were devotees. And Kaliya, did he become a devotee? Yes, so Kaliya down there, he's a devotee. Yeah, and they're all, it says they worship Anantashesh. Tomorrow we'll hear the kings. The kings of them are Vaishnavas. They go and do puja to Anantashesh, who's also down there. Yes?
How did the 2 3 get situated with the sinners and the charanas in the first place?
How did the demons get, how did the sinners get with the Siddhas and Charanas? They're a little bit higher. The Siddhas, they're not exactly. They're in the same region, but Siddhas and Charanas are higher,
okay.
And then Yakshas are in a lower.
How did these demons even get situated on planets that are affected by Narayan, the sun?
How did they get situated on planets that are affected by the sun?
Yeah, above the earth.
Above the earth. Well, they're subtle also. They're not like physical, gross. They're subtle beings. So that's their place. The subtle beings are in the sky. Their place is, they're not gross planets like Earth, but the Siddhas, Charanas also, they're subtle. They're mystic powers. They're gross, yeah. So these are subtle beings, ghosts. They don't have a gross body. Ghosts, rakshasas, ikshasas, or yakshas. They don't seem to have a gross. They're up in the outer space. And the Siddhas also, yeah. How does one end up in Bila Swarga? Adi Purush is asking. Well, it seems obvious that if you have the desire to enjoy, a very great desire to enjoy, then you can go down there. But some of them are relatives, you know, like of Bali Maharaj. They're like a whole race of people down there that are descendants of Danu and Diti. Diti's sons, Danu's sons, they all live there. So they go down there, those families. And then you have the families of the Nagas, which also descend from Kashyap. So some of them are like that. But some of them can be ordinary human beings who have that desire to enjoy unlimitedly. And so then you can go there. Yes? If somebody wants gross enjoyment,
then
you'll go down.
Subtle enjoyment, they go up.
And subtle enjoyment, you go up.
Well, it depends because Kubera is the chief of the yaksha.
Kubera is chief of the yakshas.
Gross,
yeah, he's subtle. Well, the yakshas are also subtle.
Yeah, so
his guards, they're all subtle.
Well, yaksha is subtle.
No, yeah, they're in the subtle. And Kubera is also, he's... Yeah, that's different. We're not talking about Vaikuntha.
No, what I'm saying is, since the all these races exist in their pure form in the spiritual world.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've heard descriptions where
Okay. So in, I haven't researched that about the Rakshasas and Yakshas in the spiritual world, although it is said that they do worship the Lord. Yes, you can investigate about the Yakshas and Rakshasas in the spiritual. Prabhupada said, when he was asked that question, you know, how is it that the demons worship the Lord and the devotees and demons together, and he said, you are worshipping. you are the demons. when Prabhupada was asked that question, he says, you are worshipping.
So that's a good hint. They just came back from the political world and they were
lecturing. Yes. Well, I don't know about that. We're trying to go there. Okay, Abhaya, you, and then Bhakti Damian.
Coming back to his question about verse 7.
Okay, question about verse 7, back to 7, about the size of the
width and length.
Oh, yeah, it's got the width and length there.
So if you say that they're inside the earth, they have a problem because certain sides cannot be at the same size.
What's that?
If the planets are inside the earth, they cannot be at the same size of the earth.
Right. Let's see what it says. Doesn't give any measurements. It looks like a. Yeah. Does it give a measurement of these systems, or does it just say? Verse 7. Exactly the same as those of Earth. It doesn't give an actual measurement. Okay. So that's something to research. When I read Sariputta's book, he said it was, they're the same as Bhumandala, the same dimension as Bhumandala. And that was what I understood. Okay, yes.
The imitations you speak of in the, what is it, the planetary system?
Heavenly planets.
Yeah, the heavenly planets. What's the nature of that imitation? Because they sound quite real, you know, like the birds have vibrations and everything like that.
Imitation sun. There's no sun. So they have electricity, obviously. They have electricity or some kind of power to light up. And also the jewels from the heads of the serpents. So imitation, all this technology is imitation. You know, they have all this great technology which is given by Maya Dhanava. So which is all imitation. It's not, instead of actually living a life, you watch TV or you go into the computer and have your life there. It's imitation. Yeah. Yes?
So that means those birds and everything, trees, they're not alive there?
We don't know. We don't know. You have to go there. According to some person who claimed that he remembered his last life there, they're not so, they're imitation. They have the... Yeah. So how are you going to grow the trees? How are you going to grow everything? But according to Bhagavatam, it sounds like they're real. So some kind of... What kind of trees are you going to have down there? Trees and gardens? And you can have in the caves? In the caves. In Holland? They grow it under the tube lights, okay. So you can, yes. So if they have tube lights, then they can grow so many things. Artificial light, things grow, yes? What's that?
It's not growing on the earth, but on water.
Which?
It is in Holland.
In Holland.
Yeah, the potatoes, they just grow in the...
Okay, water. It's growing in the water, not in the earth. Mm-hmm. Haribo. Bhakti Damian and then Siddhi Lalasa. Yeah. Yes. So if you want to find the details on that, you can find it in Sariputta's book, where he shows how East and West agree on this point. That for the Western scientists or whatever, the nodes of the moon, or Western astrology, by understanding the nodes of the moon, you can predict eclipses. And by understanding Rahu and Ketu in Eastern, then you predict eclipses. So anyway, I'm not familiar with this, but you can research it. It's there in his book,
yeah,
Vedic Cosmology.
How is it that you can see the moon going towards the sun? And
actually, he explains it in his book also, that because of the orbits of the moon and sun, then sometimes it may happen like that also. He agrees, actually, with
how if the moon is supposed to be behind the sun?
Yeah, he gives a very elaborate explanation. That sometimes, because of the orbits, the orbit changes, so therefore it can happen. So like if the moon happens to be in a certain part of its orbit and the sun happens to be in a certain part of its orbit, then it can cross. You're seeing there's a chance they can cross. So if you want to really, really understand it, I just read the book in a few hours, but I noticed that part was there. But I couldn't read the whole thing, so... You can look it up and understand it. The Vedic Cosmology by Sariputta, where he elaborately explains how it's possible for both to be true. Both the Western and the Eastern are simultaneously true. So it's quite inconceivable, but he explains it in his book. Yes. If nothing can grow down underneath, well, things do grow. We've come to that conclusion. There are things growing. Mushrooms. Prashanta suggests they can eat mushrooms. What do snakes eat? Yeah, snakes come up and eat up here and then go back. But actually, if you read Mahabharata, then Bhima was taken down there, and also Arjuna was taken down. And they were fed very nicely, and Bhima was given a special tonic to make him much stronger than he was before. So evidently there is regular food down there that people can enjoy, and according to Mahabharata.
There's one province of India which is called Nagalok.
Nagalok, province of India. Yes. Nagalaya. Yes.
One place Prabhupada says that one of the mystic powers of the snakes is that they can feed on prana.
Okay, here you go. Here's what the snakes eat. One of their mystic powers is they can feed on prana.
And I always do this with a bit of soul, but this spring I was taken to a cave in Slovenia.
A cave in Slovenia?
20 kilometers long, huge cave.
Huge cave, 20 kilometers long.
And there they have something called a human fish.
They have a what?
They call it a human fish.
They call it a human fish. Amphibious creature.
Something between a lizard and a snake.
Between a lizard and a snake.
So this little thing lives in water, and it can stay without food for 1 or 2 years.
So this creature lives in the water, can stay without food for 1 or 2 years.
And once in a laboratory, they forgot this thing for 12 years in a jar.
So once they forgot this creature 12 years in a jar in a laboratory...
Distilled water.
And it
survived.
Yes, actually, Prabhupada says that frogs have mystic power. They can live, they can hold their breath. And he says that frogs. And they say that I've heard that the scientists have opened up rocks. You know, they dig and they find a frog jumps out from within the rock. It means thousands and millions of years ago, according to their calculations. And the frog is still alive, he came out of the rock. Prabhupada says frogs have mystic powers. Yes? You agree?
Yeah, so it looks like for these 12 years, this poor creature was eating something.
So this creature was eating something. So that means they survive. So that's why they can live in the ground. They can live in the ground. So they have these 96 mystic powers. Of course, that's Atala. So maybe they share them, maybe they all... They do have mystic powers. And the Nagas, if you read Mahabharata again, the jewel on their head has the power to bring the dead back to life. And that's how one of Arjuna's wives was a Naga, and she brought Arjuna back to life when he was killed by his son, Babu Vahana. This is all from Mahabharata. She put the jewel on his stomach and her heart, and he came back to life. So these different powers are there, and different ways of life And so we're hearing this. It's all in Srimad Bhagavatam. A tour of the lower planets. You believe it, Patri? Yes. No? Yes.
Why not?
Why not? Yes, that's a good answer. Why not? Yes. Okay, your friend Aparmeya married a Malaysian lady.
So, and he told me that the father of this lady, he had a guru.
So the father of this lady had a guru.
Once he just sent him in the forest. And this father, he found this small man who came to him and started to speak to him some strange language.
Okay. All right.
And he couldn't figure out, and he was thinking what he wants. So he took him on the shore to the guru. Just because he was looking for help.
So there was a small man about 1 foot, 2 feet big.
And this man, he started to speak to his guru.
The guru. So the man...
The same language from him.
Okay.
And the guru said, oh, it seems he lost. He is asking for some place where the water is for him.
Waterfall. He wanted a waterfall. Okay. Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Oh, well, we already know that the river is the universal highway. If you go, he just wanted to get back on the road. He lost his road there. So he had to go into the universal highway of the river, and then he could get back to his place where he was.
They exist.
Sometimes they get lost in our dimension. And so his guru could go through both dimensions, so he helped this little man out and took him to a river, and he got back to his house. Interesting.
Jitendriya.
Yeah, so different dimensions sometimes cross. Jitendriya Prabhu, one of our devotees, was visiting a Shiva temple, and they were doing a kirtan, not they, but the pujaris were doing a kirtan for the pleasure of Lord Shiva, and he could see, and somebody else could see, one other devotee could see among the huge group, many small people dancing along in the kirtan, and nobody else could see. Then they went out of the temple, there was this old lady about the same size, 1 or 2 feet tall, and she says, I've been waiting 300 years. For what? I'm sitting here in this temple since 300 years. So then our Mataji screamed and ran away. And they look back, and that Mataji was gone. Okay, so there are different dimensions in the universe, and we're going, actually today it's quite a different dimension under the earth, and also up in Bhuvar Loka is a different dimension, which we cannot go. We're restricted from going to these places. Even the other places we heard about, we're also restricted. We're just here on this Bhard Varsh. But this is our geography lessons. We're having geography of the whole universe. We're seeing what it looks like, what the people do, and all these things. And so today, this is the end of our geography lesson for today. Hare Krishna.